Off the ball with BetDaq.com, the sports betting exchange. Serious about sport 24/7. Every season, every sport, every team.
All right, you're very welcome back. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet the show here at Off the Ball, or you can text us on 53106. Jerry Thornley is with us from the Irish Times to help us preview the game this evening. You're in Northampton for this game. Writing today in the paper, you were saying it's not quite must win, but that what Leinster need to do over this game and the next game is just make sure that whatever tiebreakers are going to go their way.
Yeah, these back-to-back games are a little bit like a two-legged affair in the Champions League or something. You've got to come out on aggregate on top over the two games in terms of match points or failing that try scored or points scored in the two matches, just that you are at least better off in the head-to-head. I think the way the pool has panned out, Ger, it could be one of those that only one team is likely to go through. It's very competitive, so you just got to get whatever advantage you can. And the very fact that Leinster staved off what was looking for all the world like it could be a 5-0 match point haul from Montpellier last time out. They came back and not only denied Montpellier a bonus point but got one themselves. It's why they're leading this group and is indicative of how I think this group is going to pan out. So the very minimum, while it's not must win and win would help greatly, the very minimum is that they get something out of tonight's game and over the course of the two matches with Northampton at least come out on top of the head-to-head. The feeling though is that with Northampton not going so well this season, it really is potentially a winnable game.
Okay, so what are the problems that Northampton are having this season?
It's hard to put your finger on it. I mean, you look at their team sheet and it's very good, but they're creating chances and they're not taking them. You feel that they're not a million miles away. They are creating chances, they're just not taking them. And it could be that, fresh competition, Friday night under lights in this competition, that we'll see the real Northampton stand up. But I don't know, maybe they've gone a little bit stale. There's no doubt that Jim Mallander is under huge pressure. That's why I was surprised that maybe Pat Lamb didn't pitch up here eventually. But this, they might well view the Champions Cup as a turning point of the season and does have a feeling that this is going to be a make or break couple of weeks, certainly in terms of Europe and perhaps even their season. And of course there is the whole kerfuffle over George North, and whether that will galvanise them and bring them closer together, who knows.
Yeah, North obviously not in the team, not in the squad.
No.
After horrific scenes last week, really, that make everybody who watches rugby really question just how serious they're taking the issue. Maybe we'll park that for now, but the team that they have named some very familiar names, and Dylan Hartley's on the bench.
Yeah, I guess just he's had such a workload. Not just that he played all the English games during their unbeaten November, but that he captained the side as well. And, it could work. It could have a very galvanising effect with half an hour to go if they're still very much in the match. You can imagine, Pat Franklin's Gardens, if their homegrown hero comes onto the pitch with half an hour to go and the game's still in the balance. That might be why Jim Mallander's doing this. And there might be some merit in the selection with the view to him then starting next week.
Okay, so they also are trying to manage resources over the course of the two games. The type of game that Northampton play with JJ Hanrahan at 12, does that mean that they're actually using him as an auxiliary out half, or is he actually supposed to play the role of a traditional inside centre?
No way, because he can't. He's not built like that. He's not designed for that kind of game, Ger. Whenever we saw him play 12 in tandem with Ian Keighley at Munster, it just opened up a completely different dimension to their game. And they put much more width in the ball and a much greater pace, and it stretched defences. It was a different type. And you'd imagine with his selection that Jim Mallander and Northampton are looking to do the same again. It is a relatively callow Leinster backline. They probably have seen that at times, Leinster, if there's been an Achilles heel defensively, it's that teams can get around them. And I think what JJ Hanrahan's selection at 12 suggests is that they're going to try and do that.
You mentioned that callow backline. It could hopefully be the start of a very long and fruitful career for Adam Byrne. He's looked very dynamic. He's a big guy. He's very fast. And this is the type of environment where you're asking quite a lot of a 21-year-old. Equally, they're asking quite a lot of a 21-year-old Joey Carberry. And yet we've seen so much from Carberry to suggest that it's going to be water off a duck's back for him.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, there's no doubt that, less so than Adam Byrne, and he is a very exciting talent. He looks a really good player, and he's got Rob Kearney and Easton Asewa there in the back three with him, and he couldn't have much more experience alongside him than that. And if you say callow, and yet I think there's about eight centurions in this team. There's a very experienced Leinster side, and yet, particularly at half-back, 9-10, particularly with Carberry, you're almost waiting for him to have a bad game, and he never looks like he's going to. It's been an extraordinary, I think he's only played 10 matches, maybe 11 for Leinster. It's still very much the early early stages of his rookie professional season. You know, the guy makes his debut and a win against the All Blacks. And when the game was still in the balance, nothing seems to faze him, that's for sure. He seems to revel in a big game temperament. He's very composed on the ball. He doesn't get jittery. If he makes a mistake, it doesn't seem to get to him. He's brave defensively. You know, he might miss a tackle here and there, but he'll come back looking for more. And what really exudes class about him is that he always seems to have time with the ball. And I'm guessing that this Leinster pack, which is in effect the de facto Irish pack minus Rory Best and Ian Henderson or Donnacha Ryan in the second row, is good enough to give him plenty of front foot ball. And he's a very, very good potent player with front foot ball. And then, as you say, there's real excitement in the whole Henshaw-Ringrose partnership that, you know, if as legend has it, Graham Henry said, that's your out half for the next 10 years, referring to Joey Carberry, well then certainly this is a midfield partnership that could be here with Leinster and for Ireland for many years to come. And of course, with Jarrod Payne sidelined for props, certainly the first three rounds of Six Nations, maybe longer, it's one that Joe Schmidt will be looking at very closely as well. And I think you'd hope Henshaw is right. It's 3 weeks on now from that horrific tackle that he suffered from Sam Kane, but you know, with medical procedures and all that, you would hope that, you know, he's absolutely perfect. And if they get the front football, Henshaw trucking it up, he's so muscular, and Ringrose, any kind of gaps, any kind of space, particularly when the game loosens up in the second half and towards the hour mark, that's when he can really come into his own. And then you've got Nasiba as well, like, he's just, you know, a magnificent servant for Leinster. No matter what position he props up on the pitch, he's a potent threat, he'll take the goal kick. So you would like to think that if Carby goes well and gets Leinster playing, then they've got every chance to win this game. The real worrying thing, Ger, though, is this very odd away form over the last three seasons, whereby they've not won one of their last seven matches on the road and have lost in six of them. You know, a lot of that Montpellier game, you know, News Talk were there, you commentated on it, it wasn't very impressive by them, gutsy and all as the comeback was laid on. But that is a worry. But you still look at the two teams, you look at the form guide of Northampton this season, the way they haven't been taking their chances thus far. And I think the first 20 minutes is key. A Friday night game, it does count for more. It will be much more atmospheric. Franklin's Garden is a very atmospheric ground. The home team will be very pumped up. So if in that first 20 minutes the Leinster pack and Carberry can quieten that home crowd down as much as possible, they will have taken a big step to what would be a hugely valuable away win.
What about Luke McGrath being able to keep Jamison Gibson Park out at this stage? It looks quite nip and tuck at the moment, and that's really what Leinster need, is that both players play really well and drive each other to new heights.
Yeah, it's great when you think of the post Owen Redden Isaac Boss era that they have this going. I mean, I think Jamison Gibson Park has been a superb signing. Looks a real deal as a scrum half. He plays with his head up. He moves after he passes. He stays involved. I like the look of him, must say, and he's got a very zippy pass. I presume McGrath is in there also because of his leadership credentials. That's why Cullen likes him in there. But it's one of the positions where you can definitely look at the Leinster bench tonight and say that's real potential impact off the bench, that Gibson Park can give them another running threat, another dimension when he comes off the bench with 20 or 30 minutes to go if they require it.
Yeah, what is the next stage for McGrath? What should our expectations be? Because he's 23 and it's such a difficult position to be a boss and to be a leader, that maybe it's a little early for certainly most Irish scrum halves, with the obvious exception of the current incumbent in the green jersey, tend to be late developers. They're players who kind of need a few years, they get games, they're like, okay, we understand this now and how it works. You know, you think of Redden having to go away to get fully appreciated. What is the ceiling for McGrath kind of this season and ultimately for his career?
Well, it's a huge opportunity for him, isn't it? I mean, had Owen Redden stayed on another year, maybe opportunity wouldn't have knocked to quite the same extent. Who knows? So often a player's career is about timing and circumstances. And who, like, if you're a talented young back rower in Munster from about, like, 2000 to 2010, what chance have you got of breaking into that back row? This is Luke McGrath's time. He certainly strikes you as a very sound scrum half. He's got all the basics to his game, and he seems mentally very strong as well and temperamentally quite assured. And this is his opportunity, and it's a nice rate of development. If we're saying Carby's been thrust into it, McGrath's been knocking on the door that little bit longer. He too has been involved with Ireland over the November window. That will surely benefit his game. So I think he's basically now the Irish number three scrum half, as well as the Leinster first choice scrum half. And, you know, it's not a lost cause for him to try and push on and maybe get onto the Irish bench in the Six Nations. It's a feasible target for him.
Yeah, okay. So in terms of the quality of performance against Montpellier not being awesome, how do they actually make sure that they're in a bit more form? What are the signs that maybe they are trending into a bit of form, or actually not quite, and we need to see it in these games?
I think that's a valid question you make there. That's a valid point you make there. We need to see it in these games. We haven't seen it in a big away performance from Leinster now since probably the quarter final against Toulon 2 seasons ago, when they defied their own lack of form then to take Toulon all the way to the semi final to extra time. And we haven't seen anything remotely like that in away performance since. I think that this is the kind of game where if Leinster are going to be serious contenders to win this trophy, and they certainly don't look like one of the top four in the betting, but this would be the kind of game they need to win. And certainly, like I said earlier, come out on top over the 2 weekends. I think if you look at them, there are lots of ingredients there to expect a really decent performance. Their form has been good. They're much better prepared for Europe than they were this time last year. There was no World Cup distractions. A lot of players are in really good form. We've seen with Leinster before, notably 3 years ago, on this very night when they came to Northampton in round 3 of the back-to-back games in the Heineken Cup, as it was then, that they benefited from being bulk suppliers in the November window that time, and went out and put 40 points in Northampton and Franklin's Gardens. And if you look at the pack, I think there's every reason to believe that the scrum will be very strong when you think of McGrath, Cronin and Furlan, the form they're coming from. Devon Toner is playing the best rugby of his life. Hayden Triggs has to be playing well to get into the posse of second rowers who want to partner Toner in these games. And then if O'Brien can recapture the form that he displayed against the All Blacks in the Aviva Stadium, and Van de Vlaar the same, and Heath the same, wow, it's a really strong Leinster pack, you'd have to think. You've got Healy come off the bench, and Rhys Ruddock and Jack Cullen as well. They ought to have the firepower to really take the game to Northampton tonight.
It's not a disaster if they lose, but it would be close enough to disaster that they don't at least get a losing bonus point, and yet at the same time the opportunity, as you said, really here, actually go out and make a statement here tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the bookies are making them 4-point favourites. I don't know about that, but they are making them 4-point favourites. So I think at the very least they'd want a bonus point, but even then that means they would have to win away to Castra and beat Montpellier at home in the last 2 rounds of the competition, because you're not going to get through on 3 home wins. At some juncture, they're going to have to win away from home. And this looks to be as good an opportunity as they're going to have. Much will depend on whether Castra are still in the running. We all know what Castra are like. And like most French teams, if they're out of the running come the last 2 rounds, then they can be very dilettante about it and pick the Espoirs. But if they're still in the hunt at home in front of a big crowd, then they can be very dangerous. So you'd have to think, if that's the case, therefore this is the most winnable of the away games, and Leinster at some point are going to have to win an away game. And this is what Stuart Lancaster targeted, helping to make Leinster a European contender again. If they're going to be a contender, at some point they're going to have to win one of their away games in the pool stages.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Lancaster, given we've just seen with what happened with Pat Lamb. We had Lancaster on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how it is an ambition of his to coach in Super Rugby, and you can see he's at a stage of his career now where he's quite happy to go around the world and learn a bit. At the same time, it looks like he's been very good for Leinster so far, and having that level of experience on the coaching ticket, there were some doubts about whether or not it was the right thing to do at the start, and I think pretty quickly he's come in, he's impressed the playing staff there, and he's been a massive help to Leo Cullen. So, games like this and getting a bit of a winning vibe going, it couldn't hurt in trying to bed down some kind of long-term relationship there.
No, and I think in all the analysis of Stuart Lancaster, you've got to remember that virtually every coach at some juncture loses a job, or it has a poor parting of the ways from somewhere. I mean, Warren Gatland was sacked by Ireland, Graham Henry was let go by Wales, Michael Checker was let go by Stade Francais. The list is endless. Virtually every top coach at some juncture is on the rebound. Pat Lamb, let go by Auckland Blues, damaged goods in New Zealand, and they have to rebuild their career in some way, and the next one is the really important one. I think Leinster has been a really good fit for him, and he's been a really good fit for Leinster. The vibes are all very encouraging about him. The players really enjoy working for him. They hang on his words. He's built up a hell of an experience of over 10 years in the coaching cricket. And when you've been a head coach of a national side like England for 4 years, culminating in hosting the World Cup, that's an awful lot of experience to be gleaned as a head coach. And coaches are, no less than players, are themselves learning all the time. I think also the fact that he's been taken away from a kind of a quasi-director rugby role, which he would have had as the England head coach, and letting Mike Cadd and Andy Farrell and the rest of the Graham Rowntree all looking after the actual coaching end of it. He's just reveling being back on the training ground and actually coaching. And he is a good coach, clearly, and they like him a lot. And who knows, maybe the move will appeal to him in the long enough term that he'll stay put with Leinster. You wouldn't know. But certainly for the time being, it seems to be quite a smooth addition to the coaching ticket. And I would imagine that the other Leinster coaches are benefiting from him as well.
There's no sign of it being turned into a long-term deal. We're at that kind of time of the year where contracts start getting talked about. Jamie Heaslip's contract was in the papers after he gave an interview to BT Sport saying, who knows what's going to happen. This is that long period where these are the stories that start to get written. There's been no sense yet of them trying to tie Lancaster down?
None whatsoever. In fact, I would safely presume that both parties, i.e. Leinster and Stuart Lancaster, are quite happy, Gerard, to see how the season pans out, and particularly the European campaign. This is the one that Stuart Lancaster himself, on the day he was announced and unveiled, he made a big play of helping to make Leinster a big power in European rugby again. That's what he wanted. And I think he himself is a little bit now in the shop window as a coach over these games against Northampton particularly. It's his first time back in England in a working capacity since the World Cup. And, in that light, Leinster's performance is going to generate a lot of interest within the English media and within English clubs. Who knows? There might be a vacancy at Northampton. There certainly will be vacancies at the end of the season. So I think for the time being, both parties are quite happy to wait and see how it pans out. I'll tell you one thing, though. I don't think there would be a move to replace Leo Cullen and have Stuart Lancaster supersede Leo Cullen. I think Leinster still, the vibes I get, very much believe in Leo Cullen, and they're not going to start not believing in him now.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of the perfect solution to what was going on from Leo Cullen's perspective, is that you do bring in somebody who immediately quietens all the talk of the future and give him time to breathe, develop, learn the skills, and then at some point if Lancaster goes, preferably after a period of sustained success, then that's all seamless. I guess just on the Pat Lamb point and on the point you're making about him being in the shop window, if it goes incredibly well, that's like a double-edged sword too, because everybody's like, good man, Stuart Lancaster, thanks very much. Come on down, we'll give you the 750 grand or whatever it is that Pat Lamb's getting paid.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's true. The better he does, this is always the danger with Pat Lamb, and I suppose it's similar with Stuart Lancaster. Look, the co-opting of Lancaster onto the ticket, no less than the co-opting of Graham Henry in for pre-season, was a tacit admission by Leinster that they got it wrong when they got rid of Matt O'Connor, because they didn't have a plan B. It was a knee-jerk reaction at the time, and they did not have a plan B in motion. And as a result, they ended up not just putting in Leo Cullen, perhaps prematurely, into the head coach's role, but also putting in a largely inexperienced, unproven professional coaching ticket with no experienced voice in it, a la Henry or Lancaster or whatever. And I think that's just a tacit admission that they got that wrong. They've been kind of putting out fires ever since. There's a much better balance to it there now. And I think there would, in the long term, I think a lot of people in Leinster would probably like to see it just continue as is for the next few years. It so much depends on Lancaster himself, doesn't it? And only he knows. I would imagine if a push came to shove and a big offer came in for him to remain in England, it's where his family are based in Leeds and so forth, and he wouldn't be of a mind to move them. I think his kids are kind of teenage years. The likely probablyhood is that he's more likely to pitch up in England next season than again with Leinster. You're probably right.
Yeah, for sure. Jerry, great stuff. Enjoy the game. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Jerry. Will do.
Jerry Thorney of the Irish Times there. And if anybody, as I said, wants to get in touch, 53106 is the number. Coming up next, the Crappy Quiz.
Off the Ball with BetDak.com. The sports betting exchange. Serious about sports 24/7. Every season, every sport, every team.